Good morning, Your Honor.
Ms. Curley.
There were four issues raised in this appeal based on the deferential standard of review that's applied to challenges of the sufficiency of the evidence. I'd like to first focus on the issue of the admission into evidence of Hodges' gang affiliation. This court has noted on several occasions the negative connotations that evidence of gang affiliations has in the eyes of jurors. The government's theory in this case was that Hodges' connection with the Chicago street gang was admissible to support witnesses' testimony that he was going to trade stolen guns to his acquaintances in Chicago. However, there were numerous undisputed references to Hodges' ties to Chicago, so that this evidence of the gang affiliation was not needed to show any ties. There was Hodges' own statement to the police that he had, prior to moving to Marion, had lived and grown up in Chicago and had returned to Chicago in April of 96. This testimony was referenced three times throughout the trial. There was additional testimony that Hodges told Thompson that a friend in Chicago, he had a friend in Chicago who was interested in buying stolen goods. There was testimony that from Thompson, that Thompson loaded guns into a car of men who Hodges told him were taking the guns to Chicago.
How old was Hodges at the time he had this connection with the high school kid?
I believe he was in his late 20s to early 30s.
And they were hanging out at his apartment and stuff
yes.
like that?
One of the high school kids actually lived with him for a while during this time period also.
Which one was that?
It was Matthew Dibble, who did not testify. There was additional evidence that on one occasion Hodges had requested that Thompson give him some money so he could catch a bus and go to Chicago. In addition, there was evidence that the guns were actually recovered in Chicago by the Chicago Housing Authority Tactical Gang Unit. While there was evidence that that a tactical gang unit actually recovered the firearms, there was no evidence linking that recovery to gang members themselves, much less to the gang that Carl Hodges was allegedly affiliated with. So there was no relevancy for the introduction of the evidence, and it was highly prejudicial. In fact, the government reiterated Hodges' gang affiliation in their closing argument, leaving the jury with this negative evidence in their eyes. There was absolutely nothing to connect Hodges' gang affiliations to the offenses with which he was charged. There was no cautionary instruction given by the judge when the evidence of gang affiliation came in. This trial lasted from picking the jury to closing arguments a total of 2 days, and the evidence of guilt in this case was not, it turned all the way on the credibility of the witnesses who testified, and the evidence was not overwhelming because there were credibility questions in reference to the witnesses. Therefore, our position is that it was an abuse of discretion to allow this testimony in, and that testimony was harmful to Mr. Hodges. The second issue I'd like to address is the sentencing enhancement, the two-level enhancement for use of a minor during a crime. According to the minor himself, Jeremy Midget, the only time he had any discussion with Hodges about getting money for stolen items was on January 22, 1996, when he delivered the stolen firearms to Hodges' house. Other discussions concerning committing burglaries and taking stolen items to Mr. Hodges were totally between Midget, the juvenile, the minor, and Colby Thompson. The government's primary argument is that Midget was used by Hodges to carry the weapons from the car into his house. However, there was no evidence that of who suggested that the guns be carried into Hodges' house. There was no evidence that Hodges performed any affirmative acts to involve Midget or to get him to carry the gun. In Rivera, this court upheld an enhancement for use of a minor when the defendant's son helped unload marijuana from a van. The defendant in that case argued that his son did this of his own initiative. However, this court noted that there was evidence, testimony from witnesses, that the defendant had actually requested his son's help. And the court also looked at the fact that the defendant didn't stop his son, and that fact corroborated the witness's testimony. We believe that the implication from that decision is that the son unloading the marijuana without additional evidence from witnesses that the son did so at the defendant's request was not in and of itself enough or not sufficient for the enhancement. And as applied to Hodges' case, Mitch's arrival with the guns at Hodges' house without any request from Hodges or direction by Hodges was not sufficient for the enhancement. Secondarily, the government relies on the assertion that Hodges recruited minors to bring him stolen goods. This court in Ramsey stated that a defendant must take some affirmative acts to involve the minor. As stated previously, Midget testified that he had one discussion with Hodges, and that was on the day he delivered the guns to Hodges' house.
Well, that one of the definitions in application note one in the guidelines is encouraging a minor. Do you think it satisfies the encouraging requirement if you dangle money in front of a minor and say something like, if you bring me guns, I'll give you money? Is that a form of encouraging?
I think that is. I think that would apply. I think the distinction in this case is that that was never done directly to Midget. It was done to Colby Thompson, but Midget could have overheard these conversations. As I think in one instance he indicated he was present when Colby Thompson was talking to Carl Hodges. However, I think there has to be some direct encouragement there between the minor and the defendant, and I don't think there's evidence of that in this case.
Were these others 18 or so?
Yes. And as an analogy to that, I think you could look at it as somebody planning a bank robbery, and a minor is there and overhears what's going on. They're not included in the planning, but all of a sudden they appear, and as the people are leaving the bank, grab a bag and take off. Well, the bank robbers didn't encourage the minor to participate, although he ended up participating in a way. So I think there has to be some direct encouragement there. There was no evidence that Hodges discussed with Thompson the possibility of involving Jeremy Midget.
You're into your rebuttal time.
Okay, thank you. I'll reserve the rest. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Gouley. Ms. Stemmer.
May it please the Court. I'm Patty Stemmer for the United States.
You can put the podium down if you want. There's a little switch on the right.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. I'm going to address today the same two issues that Ms. Schooley just addressed, and that would be I'll begin with the gang affiliation issue. Just to point out, this testimony was very brief during the trial. It was introduced as part of the government's theory of the case that the defendant was soliciting these high school students to go out and steal guns for him or other merchandise, which he had told them that he could get rid of in Chicago. And he admitted when he spoke to the police that he had been affiliated with a street gang in Chicago. So the evidence was introduced to show that he did have a market for these items in Chicago. Now, Ms. Schooley argues today...
You might tell your court reporter that the Peaceton Nation is just P. There's no P-E-A to it.
Okay.
I don't want them to think it's a vegetable. I mean, it's the old Blackstone street gang.
Yeah,
it's
thank you, Judge.
Used to be the Blackstone Rangers.
Right.
Ms. Schooley argues today that there was other evidence showing that he could get rid of these guns in Chicago, and therefore we didn't need this. But I think the important point is much of the evidence that she points out today, which is in the record certainly, but it's the very evidence that they challenged at trial as being not credible, and that was testimony supplied by the two boys, Thompson and Midget. And therefore, by introducing the defendant's own statement on this point, it corroborated their testimony and made it credible. And as I said again, it was just a few lines in the transcript. It was not dwelled on when the prosecutor referred very briefly to the defendant's gang buddies in Chicago in his closing argument. He did it again not to just cast aspersions on the defendant, but to specifically tie him, the gang affiliations, his gang buddies, into this particular scheme of getting the high school students to bring him stolen merchandise, stolen guns, which he could then unload in Chicago. So it had a specific purpose here. In this respect, it's very similar, I think, to the court's case in Richmond, which was also a firearms case where the defendant was charged with being a straw purchaser for his associates in a gang. And the gang evidence was introduced to show that he was buying the guns for his associates. So it had that same direct relationship. Moving on to the second issue, which is the sentencing issue, the enhancement for using a minor. There's no dispute here that Jeremy Midget was only 17 at the time of the offense. In this case, I think the defendant used Mr. Midget in three ways. First, it's undisputed that Mr. Hodges met the boys outside of his apartment when they pulled up in their car with a trunk load of 10 firearms. And that he then, there is a dispute. Mr. Hodges says that at that point he told them to go away, that he didn't want to have anything to do with the guns. But the boys testified that, in fact, they all carried the guns into Mr. Hodges' house, including Jeremy Midget. There's no dispute that Jeremy Midget, between the testimony of the boys, is Jeremy Midget carried the firearms into Mr. Hodges' apartment, into the bedroom.
That's hard to see how that uses a minor. That suggests that if I order groceries and the grocery sends a delivery boy to deliver them, I have used the delivery boy.
Well, I think to take possession, it's that crime here is receiving stolen firearms. And he used them. He actually had the minor bring them into his bedroom. The second, there are two other instances.
Yeah, look,
did the minor steal?
My concern is, we said in Rivera that using is kind of a partnership concept. It's something, you know, similar to conspiracy. You really have to be in cahoots with the minor in some way. That suggests that the distinction is between some kind of partnership on the one hand and perhaps a simple buyer-seller relation on the other, where we all agree that's not conspiracy of any sort.
I think we have partnership.
How do we classify this transaction along that kind of line?
Well, I think we have actual partnership evidence here, because when they get inside the bedroom, at that point, Mr. Hodges says, I can get $700 or $800 for these guns, and I will divide that money with you. At that point, he's becoming they are partners in the disposition of these weapons. He also, that's an encouragement as well, under the language.
Is it clearly established that those were the terms, that it was 400 now and 400 later when I resell the guns?
No, it was when I resell the guns, then we'll divide the money. There was no money right up front.
No cash on the barrel head.
No cash, right. No cash that day, and they never saw any cash.
Did Midget actually provide guns?
Midget did provide guns.
He stole...
He was in on the burglary. He stole the guns.
And delivered them.
He brought them. He delivered them. He took them into the bedroom. He was supposed to get some of the money. And the other point that I wanted to mention is that there is actually evidence in the record that Mr. Hodges had in advance made statements in front of Mr. Midget regarding his... that, you know, I can get rid of guns, bring me guns, that kind of thing. And it's on page 70 of the transcript. It's actually a question asked by Ms. Schooley. She's bringing up some grand jury testimony when she's questioning Mr. Thompson. And she says, in December of 94, before any of the burglaries with the room car firearms or the other places that same day, did you hear Hodges say anything in your presence about his ability to get rid of stolen property or firearms? Yes. And who was present? Me, Matt Dibble, and Jeremy Midget. And so she actually elicited some grand jury testimony, which was reaffirmed, in which Thompson says that Midget was present on one of these many occasions when Mr. Hodges told the high school boys that he was in the market for stolen firearms. So that is more, that is solicitation evidence. It's in 70 and 71 of the trial transcript. If the court has no further questions, I think that there was clearly sufficient evidence in this case to give the defendant that two-level enhancement to his sentence, and we would ask the court to affirm both the judgment of conviction and sentence.
I wanted to clear up one thing. There was some discussion about when Hodges moved out of this dwelling or whatever it was, and at the time they actually spread the guns out on the bed. Is that the same place? There's some dispute about whether or not he had moved out.
The dispute regarding when he moved out is connected to another firearm, not one that was charged in the offense, but some other crimes evidence.
Oh, so but I mean, it was earlier then, obviously.
It happened later.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up because that seemed. I just want to make sure that there's not some.
The charge transaction took place in January.
Okay.
And the incident
so
we're
in
talking
about
was in the following May.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Stemmer. Ms. Cooley.
Just briefly, in response, while the issue of the gang affiliation was not dwelled on during this trial. It was a very short trial, as I mentioned before, and there was no cautionary instruction given to the jury. And the
was any tendered?
No, Your Honor, it wasn't. And the evidence in this case was not overwhelming. And concerning the Richmond case, the distinction there that this court found was that the gang members there couldn't buy guns because they were underage, and so they had to show a connection between the parties. Concerning the use of a minor, I don't believe, as I recall anyway, there was no evidence about dividing up the money. What Mr. Hodges said is, I'll be able to get $700 to $800 for these guns. In fact, I believe it was Midget who testified that it was his understanding that he, Dibble, and Thompson were the ones that were going to divide the money.
Money from where?
As a result of Hodges selling the firearms.
So it's just a question of whether who's going to get how much. Then.
Correct.
But that's...
Mm-hmm. Again, I'd just like to point out that Midget said the only conversation he had with Hodges was on January 22nd. So while he might have been present, there's no evidence he heard what was said. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Cooley. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.